Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the Lost Podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Hold on, before the show, I have to slam down some of this Spring Hill Jack coffee.
Oh, slam it down, baby.
Oh, man, it makes me shit in a way that is inspiring.
I love it, man.
I read this story. I don't even want to cover in depth in the show, but there's a naked man on meth who ran through a wall. I don't think it's enough. But Spring Hill Jack coffee makes me feel like maybe I could do that. Like maybe I could just remove all my clothes and just fucking rip through a bunch of plaster and surprise a family as they're sitting down to dinner.
Isn't that interesting? Like a coffee.
I'm the turkey. Turkeys are right. But the first thing you got to do is you got to pluck my feathers.
Oh,
pluck my feathers. And then I start pulling the butt hair out of my crack. Pulling them out.
Like a coffee-fueled, felonious Kool-Aid man. I love it. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben Kissel.
Sure you are.
Am I Ben Kissel?
You ever question every day? You ever look in the mirror and say, like, what does it mean to be Ben Kissel?
No, I don't. Henry Zebrowski is with me as well.
When I look in the mirror and I say, hey, you're Henry Zebrowski, what does that mean to you? It means, number one, of the lineage of the Winged Hussars, the bravest soldiers of the Polish legions. Currently, I am down to one other civilization, and I'm playing Poland on Civ 5. I'm doing a domination victory type, and I'm down to one last civilization that will soon fall to my knife.
Right.
And I understand that eventually they will begin to call me, not unlike in Dune Messiah, they will begin to call me Henry the Knife, the most feared yet respected, because the science that I have built, the respect for science I've built in my civilization is so powerful.
What kind of science are you doing?
Bombs.
Bomb science.
Yep. So when I look at myself in the mirror, I view the brave, cruel yet fair leader of the Winged Hussars. What do you project into this life?
Right. Of course, in the context of Civ 5. Well, I mean, I do feel like you are a leader. You do seem like, you know, maybe the next extension of Kim Jong-un once he dies of gout-related illness, something to do with type 2 diabetes.
I'll turn North Korea around.
I think that you would actually do exactly what he's doing because you have the body of a leader of the Kim dynasty.
If I was in charge of North Korea, I could flip it. You ever seen that house? It's like one of those house flipper shows.
Well, sure.
I would do it with that dictatorship, make it the roller coaster capital of the world, get people to start showing up just simply for I'd go for a culture victory. You want to use the five words? If I was going to go dictatorship in North Korea, I'd go culture victory, make it a destination for people to come, open up everything, legalize all drugs.
But
change the social nature of the entire country. I would make it more liberal. I would make it more open and accepting of people. I'd open up the coffers of the rich to everyone else except for mine, of course.
And you're going to do this with roller coasters.
I'm going to start with roller coasters, but to add another 8-year-old reference, I'd add Danny. I'd use the Daenerys way of being a dictator, where you free all the slaves and everyone would look upon you with respect, but you also need a legion of unbeatable soldiers, my winged hussars.
Well, very interesting you mentioned winged soldiers here, because I was thinking, is this person a hero? Is this person not a hero? But we've been having a pretty extensive conversation about what's going on right now in Las Vegas. And no, not the crippling meth addiction, not the crippling gambling addiction. Evidently, there's a vigilante putting cowboy hats on pigeons. And they're little cowboy hats. But the thing is, it is technically a crime, evidently. And there's a lot of pigeon advocacy groups who don't think it's cute, who don't see them as little John Wayne pigeons, who see them as victims in all this, and I'm totally conflicted.
I'm really surprised that you decided to lead with this story.
Yeah, I mean,
because also Papa John got divorced, so Papa John is out of the house. You know what I mean? I think that we have been so far correct. We've been the spearhead of this story so far. I do believe that. We put our stamp on it. And Papa John is out there now. He's going to be seen on Hinge. And we talked to a couple people on tour this weekend that had seen him around the Louisville area, and he is definitely he's a wild card. He's in the mix.
I don't know if he's a wild card. Everyone just said he looked extremely depressed.
That he's not the literal definition of a wild card?
I think he's emotionally unhinged, dramatically traumatized with the ousting of the only thing he cared about, which was his pizza outfit. Everyone said when they saw him, he just looked sad.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that have been kind of, they've been harping on me, they've been roasting me, again, appreciate the attention, I'm getting a lot of likes on my dog photos on my Instagram, the official John Schneider, you gotta take a look at that, it's big, it's getting big, it's the wave, it's a cultural wave, I'm gonna be on H3, it's huge with the youth, this can be big time for me, actually, it's huge, but at the same time, like, you know, I'm now up to about 185 pizzas in 65 days.
And oh,
I am now. But at the same time, I'm about to take it to 1 million dates in 300 days. I'm going to do this. I'm going to date all of Louisville.
I actually think Papa John's might be the one putting the cowboy hats on the pigeon.
No, he ain't got that kind of far reach. I think Papa John is now, because what is the first thing that gets in the way of you and your reckoning? We all
know
this, especially us married. Yeah, us married guys, that wife is my wife. Is a pesky obstacle
she's just trying
my revenge against society.
Once a wife starts to see her husband licking guns, looking at knives in the knife drawer, like once you start naming all the weapons in your house, like this is Raphael, Leonardo, Michelangelo.
When you have maps of the city's understructure,
yeah.
When you like know where the subway, where all this, you have subway maps, but not like what you'd use for a customer, but like literally like the people that run the subways, like you're looking at blueprints of the subways. When you're talking about reservoir access,
if you're buying a lot of red Sharpies and making a lot of red circles on said map with arrows and like names that you X out slowly as you look at them and think.
I've been talking to my friend Elon Musk. I mean, obviously we hang out. Grimes makes an incredible jalapeno dip. You'd be surprised because she can't even eat it. She can't even, her throat's too thin.
What?
She is a human cigarette. But I tell you what, me and Elon have been talking a lot about what's a good way to get me a sound weapon that'll make people shit their pants. Like
really?
People are doing with this new subpar Papa John's. These new subpar Papa John's pizza coming out. And I tell you what, I'm a person of, I've had 185 pizzas in the last 67 days. And I know for a fact that the quality is dropping. So I want to do the same vengeance as Papa John's is doing slowly on people. I want to do it on a mass scale with this giant plane.
I understand that Papa John made some mistakes. I think we all agree with that. But he is correct when it comes to Papa John's pizza quality going downhill. I have stopped Papa John's. I had four Papa John experiences in a row, back to back to back to back. And I was like, this was about a year ago because Papa was in the house. And I was like, maybe it was just a fluke. Maybe it was a fluke. But by the fourth time, I was like, no, something happened. They went cheap on something. Papa was the safeguard. He was the stopgap. They skimped on the cheese, the sauce, even the garlic butter isn't the same. So
sometimes,
is technically correct when he talks about the pizza going downhill.
I do believe that chefs need to install and inspire a certain amount of fear in their staff in
yes.
order for the food to be good. I really do believe that. That's why chefs, a lot of times, are very scary.
And not, a Mario Batali type fear, a Gordon Ramsay type fear. Gordon, where it's like you get criticized to the point where you cry when you leave, and then the next day, you don't make that same mistake again.
You don't make that same mistake, but it's not about getting your bubbies licked. Or getting your poochie grabbed, right? You're getting your poochie grabbed by the Batali.
You punch him in the face.
Obviously, you punch him in the face. You take those Crocs. You steal those Crocs off his big, sweaty Italian feet, and you push him down on the ground because that's the only way he's standing up because of the grip of the Crocs.
Yep.
But if you are a proper chef, they will be so afraid to make the soup too hot. They'll be so afraid to cook that salmon to an improper texture.
Sure.
Temperature. So, yes, I understand why Papa John's Reckoning used to be contained in more of a vision for the company. But now that Papa John is out of the house, because she's about to take that money.
Damn. How much do you think he's worth? What is Papa worth, do you think?
Let's look it up.
Let's take a look. I'm going to guess.
Papa John's. No, I'm not even typing in his name.
Oh, they know.
Papa John's net worth. They know what they were talking about.
If you're in the car right now, play along. I'm going to say he is worth $80 million. That's what I'm going to say. $80 million.
That's it?
That's it.
$800 million.
Off of garlic sauce?
You don't think that Papa John's Reckoning is not going to be such a massive tidal wave? Like, with $800 million, I mean, obviously,
he's almost a billionaire off of cheese.
He's almost a billionaire. He is going to be such a dangerous person out there, and he keeps saying, like, he's acting like he's playing into the joke, and he's saying, like, a lot of people say I'm covered in garlic juice, but I tell you what, I did do it. Like, he's trying to act like it's funny.
And if you follow him on Instagram, you notice he's putting some of the memes up that people are putting up. Like,
we're normalizing him,
trying to lean in.
We're normalizing him, and he's going to get in so deep to the American hearts, and then he's going to betray us with a knife in the back. I know this for a fact. He killed Jeffrey Epstein. He did a thing. He is deeply involved. I want to see his ties to the Trumps. I want to see the documents. I want to see where his ties are in Ukraine. I want to see where the money's being kept in the various islands, and he must have a Saint Papa John's somewhere.
I think the only thing he wants to do is make pizza. He doesn't want to have sex with children. I think he just... I think pizza is so truly his
innocent.
Love.
I'm with you.
I don't know if he starts innocent.
Starts going God Emperor of Dune, and he's like,
what if I built a pizza out of people's souls?
Like, yeah. He's not saying stuff like that, where it is about making a pizza. But
I could totally
he's calling
see
us ingredients.
I could totally see him going Pinhead from Hellraiser 2, just having a totem made of human flesh that is then given to some weird DJ somewhere at some music venue. I could
you should
see
literally
him going
be
that
frightened.
Part.
You should be frightened right now. If you're in the Louisville area, all right, if you're in Louisville and you know if you see Papa John, number one, buy him a cup of coffee and say, get on his good side. Get on his good side. First of all, because we need an agent on the inside. If you're listening to the show and you see Louisville, if you're in Louisville and you see Papa John out there, I want you to be an ambassador. I want you to get on the good side. You got to get in. You got to find out whatever La Quinta he's staying in right now because his wife won't let him stay in the house.
$800 million, buddy. You know he's staying at a Sheraton. He's at a Sheraton. He's a fancy man.
But, well, I mean, obviously, we've already probably dedicated an hour total in the last 3 weeks talking about Papa John. So I think that now, if we could get some insider information, that'd be really great. If you're a beautiful, busty woman, I'm going to say that his tastes probably run, if you're between the ages of 35 and 45, honestly, I bet you he is, like, solid cougar territory.
I truly believe it is not about the sex. If you just...
No, I know.
Just show up with a fresh mozzarella. You show up with some great pizza ingredient. Basil. Anything like that.
Real basil.
And it doesn't matter if you're a burly boy like Henry and I or a beautiful, busty gal like
I'm
all of our
say,
wonderful listeners.
Kissel, I do believe that if it's going to help if you're a busty gal. But it's not about you. It's just getting on the inside, gain his trust. Do the thing where you close hug him real bad.
But
like,
it doesn't.
I believe you, John. And then you press the breasts closely to his chest.
Uh-huh.
And then he sees like, maybe she is going to save me. Are you going to be the one that saves me? Like that song.
Yes, it is kind of like that song. Now, I am a little bit... I just feel like when it comes to the wife, I don't know the inner workings of their marriage. It does seem like John Schnatter is a bit of a prickly fellow.
Well, yeah, he's got high standards.
Yes, he's got very the highest fast food pizza standards anyone can demand. But it seems like his wife is bailing during the hard times, and I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it is the story of Bobcat Goldthwait from Scrooged. When he loses in the afternoon, he loses the job. He calls his wife. She leaves him. Yeah. He loses all of his money. He can't even get the little sweet pint of Ripple that he's trying to get to his lips. He can splash by all the cars. This is where he's at. But this is why it's really bad. This is why this is a time where we can weaponize our busty listeners out to go and speak to Papa John, try to soothe him, try to understand him a little bit, but also find out if he's got documents about where satellites are in the sky.
Yes, that's a very good
point. That's the big thing.
But
is that you find out if he gets anywhere close to any sort of power plant
or
a water desalinization plant, you got to tell us immediately and we have to call the FBI.
Oh my God, honey, I'm pouring all the I got this tap water here. It's nothing but garlic butter. Papa!
He finally did it. The golden wave. That's what he calls it. It's just like presently, the golden wave of death.
You will all die of diabetes, one toe at a time.
Thank you, Papa.
Let's leave Papa alone.
We're
going to
leave him alone. But yes, give him a hug if you see him in Louisville. He is sad right now.
But understand. But this is not about pure sympathy. Understand that when you get close to the center of the eye of that hurricane,
right,
you too will either become complicit or a victim. So know that. Know that. Understand that your standards and your principles might be compromised by his charm.
Yes. He'll talk about his car. He'll talk about
power,
that 77 car of his that he just loves. As a matter of fact, if you go on his Instagram, he has a full, what is it, like four paragraphs? He's like, you might not know the story of my car.
No, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I just saying, just get out there. Just know for a fact that he is a chaos wizard, and he is very dangerous.
But Henry, why doesn't he just start another pizza restaurant? Can't he just do another one called like John's Pizza?
So when Ozymandias was thrown from the height of his civilization, do you think he just went on and made some new other series of franchise civilizations?
You can.
No. He made one standing work that we are supposed to look upon in despair, seeing the previous power of his massive civilization and how with just the winds of sand, it is turned into rubble.
But what if, this is a big what if, 5 years down the road, Papa is back in control of Papa John's. The pizza is back on track.
I don't think any of this is happening. I don't think he's getting back in.
Well, they do have to fix that pizza. That's all I know. Anyway, I started talking about this damn cowboy hat pigeon. I wanted
all
to
right.
talk about pigeons because
right,
I was going to do this.
Let's finish this up. Let's finish this up.
Finish it. This is going to be the whole. This is the whole episode.
Oh
the,
my
there's
God.
Pigeons in Las Vegas wearing cowboy hats. It's amazing. Howdy, partner. I'm a pigeon.
All right.
What's wrong with you?
So the pigeon people, the pigeon representatives are against the cats on the pigeons.
So,
but is it because they're being stapled to their heads?
We don't know how. This is the controversy. No one knows how the hats are staying on the pigeons. Are they glued?
How?
Are they stapled? We don't know.
They could have little bands.
So there is this woman. Her name is Maria Hillman. Now, what does she do, Henry? What do you think she does? Okay, she
she harvests breast milk for Billary Clinton.
No,
I'm gonna call him Billary Clinton's house.
She
so
does
they can
not.
Have breast milk cheese.
No, they don't have breast. No, she works at Lofty Hopes, and Lofty Hopes is a local animal rescue and pigeon advocacy group. Did you know that pigeons had an advocacy group?
I think they need one. I think they're living tough lives.
I guess so. And this is what she said. She said, at first, I was like, oh, my God, it's so cute. And then I was like, wait a minute. How did they get those hats on there? And the advocacy group Lofty Hopes, their slogan is a pigeon positive movement. And
that is nice, honestly.
It is nice. The identity of the person who is putting the cowboy hats on the pigeons remains unknown. But this is the question Hillman had. Did they glue them on? What does that mean? Also, is it something that is going to impede their flight or attract predators? And I'm just going to say this. A cowboy hat doesn't attract predators. A cowboy hat detracts predators. That's why the cowboys wear them.
I just want to know whether or not is it fucking with their eating habits or their mating habits. And because if not, I'm going to go down a limb here and say it's technically just art.
I think it's adorable. And that's why.
It's fashion.
It's fashion.
And as an advocate for pigeons, do you want pigeons to look less impressive when they're hanging out with other birds?
But I just don't know.
Doesn't feel inadequate sometimes hanging out with an eagle?
Of course they do.
With a chicken?
Sure they do. And now they can feel like John Travolta in Urban Cowboy. They can walk into stores with confidence. They can go to the slot machines, pull those slots down, get all the money, sit down at the poker table the way they always wanted to. Pigeons need rights. So I agree with the group, but sometimes also pigeons need cover from the sun. That's what cowboy hats provide. So this was going to be my hero of the week, but then I read the article, and then there seems to be a lot of blowback, specifically from Lofty Hopes. So now this is just a crime story, because evidently it is technically illegal to put cowboy hats on pigeons, which I just didn't know.
If you're going to if you're going to arrest the man for putting hats on pigeons, I say, are we going to arrest Versace? We can't eat that. But are we going to arrest Dolce Gabbana? I don't even know who runs that, but I'm saying, are we going to arrest these people
for
trying to make people a little bit more presentable?
I would love to see Dolce Gabbana, whoever they are. Yes, it would be fun to see them perp walked and just have to spend 1 hour in a prison. Just 1 hour. That's all I need.
No, they would die. Just from the air quality, they would die. They're too special for that, Kissel.
I understand
how special fashion is and how important it is.
Oh, my God. What was the name of the skinny guy who looked like an old-timey Nazi that just died?
Which one?
The one that died, the fashion guy.
Oh, the guy with the big sunglasses and the gloves.
Yeah, the guy that looks like he just, does horrible things to children.
His name is Carluccio Bonantio, fashion designers with sunglasses. Bonantio?
Frankenberger or something.
Ripper von Hockenschnacker. I'm looking at this. It's got this old bitch with the glasses.
Karl Lagerfeld.
This is a great
anyway.
Episode.
That is right. The cowboy hats on the pigeons. But before we get into some more stuff, because there are some really creepy-ass stories this week. Speaking of creepy stories, next week we are going to dedicate the entire episode to Myrdair over the holidays. So if you have any horrible holiday tales that you would like to tell us, horror holiday stories, email sidestories@gmail.com, and we'll read some of those on the air.
Okay, I also got so fucking passionate about Papa John's and then pulled into your web of pigeons and hats and I forgot that we had a bunch of information that we had to spread at the beginning of today's episode. Number one, this is going to be coming out hopefully before the show comes out at the Regent Theater, Los Angeles, Wizard and the Bruiser, Page 7 are live, 8 p.m. It is Wednesday, December 11th. Come out and see it. They need your support. Come out and see these motherfuckers. Number two, next week, Last Podcast on the Left is about to release our entire 2020 touring system, the first chunk of it, next week. So if you want to buy tickets to see our shows, it would be great. If you want to get them for Christmas, this is time to get them. We're doing 20 cities in a month, and we're going to be out there fucking top fog hat style. We're on the road.
April is going to be a wild time for us. We may have a big old tour bus. We don't quite know yet. But yes, we can't wait to see you all out for the book tour. We're going to be filming this year's live show in New Orleans this weekend. So Friday. Next year, it'll be Friday. Next year, totally different show. It'll be book tour based. We're really excited, and we'll be
hawking a book, excited for you to see all the work we've put into the book, and for Friday, this is number three, if you're coming to NOLA show, wear a fucking costume, you will be in it. That would be pretty sweet.
Wear a costume, because we're going to have a bunch of cameras and all that stuff, and we want more crowd shots this year than we had last year, and it'll be a lot of fun, so we can't wait to see you all in New Orleans, and then Saturday, you can find us stumbling somewhere around in New Orleans. God. At some point, Henry will be dragging me, as surprisingly good he is at doing. I think it's his low polish stance. When I'm on the ground, it's just like a cup, it's like a sled.
You are just a big sled.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to put things on top of you and use you for something useful.
Oh. Papa's fucking, in the house.
Papa's out of the house. Papa's not going to have a house soon. No,
Papa's in the hotel.
Papa getting divorced. He's still sitting on commas.
But she's going to get $400 million.
Yeah, dude.
Just for being fed up.
Just for sucking Papa John's cock.
Like 8 years ago, eight times. Yep.
That's it. That's all you got to do, ladies. All right, here we go. This is a story that I'm very, very excited about. This is, I've been really getting to, because I've been watching Hellier Season 2 quite a bit.
Yes.
Really getting deeper and deeper and deeper.
Deeper.
Into more anomalous activity.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really fun story out of Chicago, the O'Hare Airport. Trucker reports 7-foot-tall person with wings near O'Hare International Airport. This comes from the SingularFortean.com by Tobias Wayland. Manuel Navarrete of the UFO Clearinghouse received a report recently from a man who said he was standing outside of a cargo dock at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago when he spotted a 7-foot-tall person with wings just outside of a fence by the parking lot. The sighting reportedly took place at approximately 6:30 p.m. on November 26. According to the report,
I was at the airport picking up a load at Nippon. I was already backed into a dock, and I was standing away from the truck smoking a cigarette while they loaded my truck. I was looking towards the runways in the directions of the tunnel, and that is when I noticed something that looked like a large bird standing just outside of the fence by the parking lot. It was not hard to miss because two street lamps were nearby. It looked like a person with wings that were stretched out and flapping. It was walking away from the fence toward the open field and then began to flap its wings and disappeared.
Nevitt was able to speak with the witness over a phone.
Is it possible, Henry, that this was the ghost of Carol Spinney, the man who played Big Bird, who died this week?
No, we know he's in hell.
Henry Zabrowski, you're incredulous. He is not in hell.
He's not guilty of any crimes, right?
No, he's big. He is. You are just your brain.
Elmo was a whole nother thing.
Also, no, Carol Spinney was just Big Bird. He was just Big Bird.
I love Big Bird.
Okay.
I watched the clip of Big Bird singing It's Not Easy Being Green at Jim Henson's funeral.
Oh.
And then I thought about how sad that is that they made him fucking get in a costume for the funeral. He couldn't even sit there in a fucking... it had to be a gig. I understand, though. It's important. It's a whole thing. I know it's an honor. I don't mean to be an asshole.
Absolutely.
I don't mean to be an asshole. I'm sorry for everything. Okay. I'm sorry for everything.
There you go. Yeah. Keep on saying it.
I just thought what he said, the way the man who saw this object, who saw this humanoid, said that he worked for the airline.
Okay.
And he mostly spoke Spanish. But the way that he described him, he said it looked like a demonio. Or a duende, which is a demonio's demon. It sounds like that. I mean, a duende is a goblin.
Oh.
Hellier, and was solid black. The witness said he saw nothing that looked like eyes, and he assumed the creature might have had its back turned to him. He stated that it walked with a gait like a bird and that it was flapping its wings as it walked towards a large field that was by the runways and disappeared into the night.
Damn.
He said he quickly did the sign of the cross and asked the Virgin Mary for a projection. He put out his cigarette and quickly walked back to his truck. When asked him why he did that, he stated that he felt a presence that was evil and was convinced that he had seen a demon. When he asked to elaborate on this statement, the witness refused to talk about it anymore for fear of it coming back, which I think is very interesting because Mothman was famous as being a harbinger of doom.
Interesting. I mean, it's also, as people who fly regularly like Henry and I, extremely horrifying. If I find out my plane gets taken down because of some demon, I'm gonna be real mad.
Honestly, it's great for the brand. But there are several other sightings that have been reported in the same area of a giant flying humanoid. I love flying humanoids.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those very mysterious things in the world of cryptids that is just really about shaking up reality. And again, when you see these things, and again, watch again and again and again, watch Season 2 of Hellier. If you are a true student of the occult, you will get why the show is the way it is. It is a full-on example of how if you want to tackle this kind of paranormal activity, this is the way you do it. It's across, it's everything. It's UFOs. It's the paranormal. It's ceremonial magic. It's all of the shit wrapped into one. And what this shit is doing is imagine that there is, if it's not a direct intelligence, but there's something that is on top of our dimension that is legitimately poking you in the forehead, in your third eye, saying, pay attention to me. And it's mostly about like kind of like a Buddhist cone. The point of it is not necessarily to get proof. It is about the seeking of the knowledge and asking the question.
So it's about the journey, not the destination. I think
it's
Aerosmith
about the friends you make. They did. It's about the friends you make along the way.
Right, right.
And so here we go. Several other sightings of the same humanoid have been seen, including an October 30th sighting of a large winged humanoid in Park Ridge. There was an October 29th report of a winged humanoid accompanied by several other beings, and on October 19th, sighting of a giant-sized bat outside of the Edward Hotel in Rosemont. And then October 5th, there was a sighting of a tall creature with bright red eyes and large wings near the O'Hare Airport, which is, so this shit's been fucking popping off.
It's horrifying. Is there any significance to it being by an airport? Maybe they can use the wind flow as the planes take off, kind of Tokyo drifted a little bit.
If I saw a humanoid just like making love to a plane, like he thought it was a big girlfriend, that'd be kind of cute.
That would be kind of cute until it drains all the oil as it performs cunnilingus. Well, speaking of airplanes, Henry, I think you'll find this story interesting. Swati Rooney Goyle, which I love that name, Swati Rooney Goyle, I think that's how it's pronounced. She was wearing a Hail Satan shirt. She was wearing it ironically, and she boarded a flight. I want to say it was American Airlines. And evidently, she's a 49-year-old chick from Key West. Evidently, the airline crew at American Airlines was so offended, they forced her to put a sweatshirt on over it. And I just feel like, I don't want to, this is one of those areas, even though I'm not a Satanist, but if I did ironically wear a Hail Satan shirt and someone forced me to put on a shirt, I would actually take a stand. I mean, unless we had to get to a show or something, but I would take a stand and I would like be like, no, absolutely not. That's completely insane. She didn't want to go through the hassle, so she just put on her boyfriend's sweatshirt. But
I tell you, sometimes I will say this, and I'm ashamed to admit it. Sometimes you wonder, is the fight too much? I'm not going to equate it to the same pain that the people in the LGBT community do, but it's really
close. That's probably for the best. I don't know if it really is.
It's so close. But the idea that I have to hide who I am when I go to the airport.
Yeah, but
because I don't want to get pulled aside for extra questioning, because I noticed that every time I wear an evil T-shirt, I always get pulled to the side, or I wear something that's vaguely... fashionably forward.
Well, I just feel like it might be your overall gritting of your teeth, the anger in your crown of your eyes, just the way you furl your brow and sort of mutter under your breath, I'm going to fucking kill you all. God damn it, I hate this.
Sometimes Natalie says I project a lot of energy.
Right, angry energy. So maybe it's that, not the shirt that says nothing but with two T's, trouble. I think it might just be more of your personality. But this woman, American Airlines, has since apologized. She says it's an ironic shirt. This is what she told BuzzFeed News. People usually laugh at it, or they give me a thumbs up because they understand the meaning behind it. Nonetheless, this American Airlines crew, they were not having it, and I'm just going to tell them this. Mind your own dang beeswax.
Mind your own beeswax.
That's the whole point of that
story. She got it from the TST, which is specifically a they don't believe in a real Satan, and it is completely a political organization. American Airlines has since apologized. Aww.
They did. They said sorry. But, you know, when it comes to, you know, I got a little political. I love my politics. When it comes to the Ten Commandments being in the courtrooms or outside of courtrooms, I am such an advocate. Put a big Baphomet up there. If you want to play this game, then you got to represent everyone. Put a Buddha.
You got to play the game.
Put Muhammad. I don't freaking care. If you want to have religious documents in a courthouse, you gotta have it for everyone. Otherwise, just don't have it at all, because the Ten Commandments, let's be honest, not exactly applicable to the court of law.
I mean, some of the laws are specifically adopted for the law, like don't murder and stuff. But the stuff that's like, don't be jealous of your neighbor's oxen. Who gives a shit?
Don't covet but your also, neighbor's wife. Have you seen Pornhub? Half the time, the neighbor's husband is a cuck in the corner.
That's all he wants you to fuck his wife.
He loves it.
But I would say, yeah, I got to watch Jesus on a fucking shirt. I got to look at Jesus on a shirt. I can't put a big naked woman with fucking a crucifix up her pussy on a shirt and walk around the airport. That's got to be my right. That's my right.
Well,
that's my right.
I
got to see your blue-eyed Jesus screaming nailed to a post. Meanwhile, I can't wear my shirt that's got two lizard women 69ing each other with a fucking a bunch of roses up their assholes. Come on.
I guess honestly, you probably could.
What is the difference? What is art then? Like the guy who paid $120,000 for the stupid banana taped to the wall, and then another performance artist came in and ate it and said, "That's art too. Sorry, fuckers." Right?
Oh my God, that was so crazy. Yes, Henry, I would fight for your right to be horribly, horribly offensive. Even in front of children at an airport, nothing will be more offensive than when I saw children, and you see this all the time as you travel, wearing MAGA hats. And I'm not making a political statement here. You can listen to Ableton's Top Hat for that.
They're asking to be confronted.
No children. Yes, no children should ever love the president. I just don't believe it's right. No kids should ever. I never liked the president.
Never trust a president.
No, you never should.
Trust any president.
None of them.
I don't get it.
Anyway.
But
my sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about two literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life, how much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people
have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy. Because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lastpod.
Hey, did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it costs, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage. It's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
But the idea is that, like, how much more violence has been done to the name of Jesus Christ than in a beautiful artistic representation of two women in love with each other? Maybe, yeah, they're 69 and right now with a bunch of rose stems up their assholes, but they could also be married.
They could be. It's very possible that they are.
They could be in love with each other. So you mean to tell me this representation of love that you view as some lascivious pornography, which is actually just a celebration of the power of the clitoris? I think it's actually very forward and very thoughtful, and children should know.
If two women want to pretend to be Vosses and have sex with each other and then have a picture of that be put on a T-shirt, you know what? This is America.
That's love.
And, of
That's
course, it is ironic. It also happened on American Airlines. They should be on the front lines of freedom. And yeah, what are they? They're acting like JetBlue.
They should have consensual no-pants flights. If you really are American Airlines, no pants flights, it's a burger buffet we're doing today for everyone, for all members, for all classes that are flying this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So welcome to Dick Out Airlines, which you can buy tickets for, right? And you know it. It's coming up front. Hey, listen, everybody's dicks are out, pussies are out. They're on seats. Well, nude on seats.
If your pussy is out, you might need to go to the doctor. But all right. Well, there you go. Henry, we will find a consensus. I understand.
Will we?
We did. Henry, I want you to talk about this story, though. Can we talk about this serious story really quick? Because you brought it to my attention before we started recording. And this story is freaking crazy. Apparently, DNA is changing when it comes to bone marrow transplants.
Listen to this story. All right, so this comes from the New York Times.
Oh,
so high profile.
High profile.
When a DNA test says you're a younger man who lives 5,000 miles away. After a bone marrow transplant, a man with leukemia found that his donor's DNA traveled to unexpected parts of his body.
Uh-oh.
Interesting. A crime lab is now studying the case. Now, this was an article written by Heather Murphy. 3 months after his bone marrow transplant, Chris Long of Reno, Nevada, learned that the DNA in his blood had changed. It had been replaced by the DNA of his donor, a German man he had exchanged just a handful of messages with. He'd be encouraged to test his blood by a colleague at the sheriff's office where he worked. He had an inkling this might happen. It's the goal of the procedure, after all. Weak blood is replaced by healthy blood, and with it, the DNA it contains. But 4 years after his life-saving procedure, which I didn't even know. I didn't even know that.
It's like totally insane. Yeah.
It was not only Mr. Long's blood that was affected. Swabs of his lips and cheeks contained his DNA, but also that of his donor. Even more surprising to Mr. Long and other colleagues at the crime lab, all of the DNA in his semen belonged to his donor.
So hold on a second.
So he's not even making his own babies. He's not even making his own babies anymore. It is his cum is turning into another dude's cum.
I mean, and it's a German man, so next thing you know, he's acting like Edward Norton in American History X, just saluting the Nazi flag with no idea why he's doing it.
He's just like face up inside of a toilet underneath a porta potty, just drinking people's liquid diarrhea.
It's not my fault. It's the German man inside of me.
There's something inside of me that's telling me to do this.
And so that's what he says. He's becoming a chimera.
But isn't this
the technical term for the rare person with two sets of DNA? This is something that is very, very interesting. They say that apparently it also happens with organ donor transplants, that you begin to take on, like, it's kind of an urban myth, but also vaguely.
Right.
I guess it, I'm not certain, but I believe it is sort of substantiated by some real research that you start to take on the personality traits of the person that you got the organs from.
And taste buds.
It's like
change.
A horror movie. It's like Idle Hands.
It truly is. It also reminds me of 89's Batman, where Joker falls into the vat. Nicholson falls into the vat and he becomes the Joker. This is sort of how you could create a supervillain. When you're doing the donations, do they like do personality tests on the people that are giving you the liver, giving you the kidneys? Like, do they do a sociopath test?
No, because it's just
so
about-
it's possible that you could get the DNA of a raging serial killer. Maybe they were put on death row and they were like, okay, I still want to donate something. And it's like freaking Chucky, man. It is like you could get the soul of a serial killer implanted into your body, and then if you do, can you get away with murder?
I don't know. I wonder if you can. Number one, it's very difficult because you're just trying to find, you're dying.
Right.
You need to find a match. And that's the first priority.
Yeah.
Right? First priority is getting the match. But yeah, you find out, oh yeah, so he might have been this pizza magnate that was forced out by his own board of directors to say racial slurs in a meeting, and now he's divorced, and now he's slowly but surely trying to give as many people his bone marrow as possible because at first he thought it sounded delicious, but then he realized he could control people's minds from the inside. It's a part of what it says on this term of paper. It says Day of Reckoning. I don't know why it says that, but you can't know. So who knows if it starts to truly change your personality?
It's
but this
crazy.
Is because I know that they say several ways people have been cured of HIV/AIDS is very intense bone marrow transplants where
right.
they literally transplant all of your fucking blood and they give you new shit. They give you new blood makers,
but
essentially.
It does ask the question, or it does beg the question, what are we? What are we? If we can be changed that easily with the insert of a liver from somebody
right.
else.
And if you want to take this little tack, let me first prepare the audience.
That's me fucking hitting a bong.
What if there's a lot of people that talk about the idea that our personalities, our direct consciousness are piped in, that they're in a cloud and we are like operating mechanisms. We are antennas for essentially things that are free floating in the sky. What if there's something that's inside of our DNA? Again, I'm not writing a book, so I don't fucking know. But what if there's something inside of our DNA that's sort of like the mitochlorians in the fucking...
Is that a Dune reference?
Star Wars.
Okay.
Not Star Wars.
Thank God.
I think it's called mitochlorians. But the idea is that there's like almost stuff in your DNA that allows that kind of is like little hinge points, like little attachments, kind of like what you have at the end of your neurons. With these like kind of the ways things attach for these various personalities, for these things. And that maybe you become sort of like a bigger antenna for somebody else's personality when you get your DNA replaced.
It's, hey, you know what, buddy?
I'm no just, facts support that.
I'm just stoned enough to entertain the idea and the concept, though. It is endlessly fascinating, and it will be interesting when at some point this will be the defense of someone who just shoots up a mall and just been like, it wasn't, I never would do this, but I got my pinky replaced by some, or my trigger finger. I cut it off in a saw accident, and I had a different one put on. Turns out that was of Dylan Roof.
So it would be crazy. No,
it will be crazy. It is like idle hands. And anyway, that story, I just had no idea that that could even happen. So interesting.
As a society, I'd like everybody to, well, for our listeners too, if you have any expertise in this field, please email us. We got some really good responses about what the hell it means to be, what the difference between manslaughter is. Basically, it's like the concept of, you know, first degree, you premeditate the murder, there's a plan, you do it. Then there's involuntary manslaughter, which is like essentially you just didn't mean to do it.
Yeah, well, speaking of murder, we could talk briefly about this story. There was a Saudi national, he killed three people. I'm sure you heard about this. It made pretty big national news. It was at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola. The dude's name is Mohammed Al-Shamrani. Mohammed Al-Shamrani. And everyone's like, what the hell happened? Why would he go crazy? Evidently, there is some evidence to back up the claim that he was super pissed with a nickname that was given to him in April. That nickname was Porn Stash. I guess he was so offended by that that he decided, then he stewed on it for, what is that, 5 months? Just sat there, be like, oh, Porn Stash. I don't know why they would call me Porn Stash. I don't watch porn. And then he shot and killed three people. Laughing, he continued to say, this is according to the story, the dude that gave him the nickname Porn Stash was a fella named James Day. He was a teacher, and in the complaint, Al-Shamrani wrote that Day was asking about 10 students around the room if they had any questions before dismissal. When he turned to Al-Shamrani, Day allegedly asked him, addressed him rather, as Porn Stash. Laughing, he continued to ask, what? Have you not seen a porn before? Al-Shamrani reportedly wrote in the complaint, after I did not respond, he just let the subject go. Obviously, the nickname, we know what the nickname is. The Times quoted Al-Shamrani as saying, I was infuriated as to why he would say that in front of the class. So I guess, man, talk about thin skin. This guy actually probably...
You guys got to be careful when you draw a nickname.
I guess
when I accidentally gave Travis the nickname Titties...
You didn't accidentally give him the nickname.
Yeah, I did.
No, you followed it up again and again and again.
You always follow the fear. Right? You follow the fear. You have to follow where your mind goes. You have to yes and yourself. You got to support yourself with your ideas.
I love that you are even remotely close to trying to backtrack on how Travis...
No, it was the name titties. It was words that just came out of my mouth. He doesn't have large breasts.
No.
He is a very thin... He is thin and masculine.
No, you have an Eric Cartman-like devil that is
sometimes
screaming inside of the corner of your brain, and that's the nickname that you wanted to go with. But it's just
I didn't mean to, but I'm saying we're lucky that Travis is good on the inside, and he didn't flip and bring his day of reckoning to our network.
Well, there's a lot of days in the year. You never know when it's going to happen. That's all. I'm very cautious. Very, very cautious.
So you keep Travis at arm's length as he sits in front of you?
No,
is that what you're saying?
No,
you're scared of him? Don't tell him you're scared of him.
No, it's important to always have a small fear of all of your employees and working partners.
Because they can rise up against you.
You never
know.
That
is what you learn. That's what you learn in Children of Dune.
You never know. This is according to Brian Boosey. He's the president of the Delaware Resource Group of Oklahoma. That's right. The president of Delaware Resource Group of Oklahoma. Don't
Very
ask
good.
Me. He
Don't
says,
know.
He says regarding the incident, he said, appropriate personnel action was taken regarding the incident in question. Corrective action was taken. The matter was closed back in April, and we have no further comment. But this is why, you know, we talk about the roast culture that we live in with comedy, and you know, we're not big into the roasty world. But this is why it's very important to listen to Jeff Ross every now and again, to listen to roast comedy. You got to build up a thicker skin. You have to.
You really
otherwise,
do.
You're going to shoot up three people in a Pensacola prison. And does this man have any idea the nickname he's going to get in prison? It's not going to be as nice as Porn Stash.
I mean, he might get the same one.
He might just get the same one, and then
and
you have to live with
also
them
when
forever.
It comes with the nickname, you're mad about it for a while, and eventually someone called you Porn Stash in jail, and you're like, you know what? Kind of fits. I do got this stash. And then you start to realize, you're like, I might have been wrong.
Yeah.
I might have jumped the gun, quote unquote, with my anger about this nickname.
Yes, it was a massive compliment. Burt Reynolds was the creator of the Porn Stash.
They're saying you got a huge cock.
That's all they're saying. And you bang a bunch of people. That's it. I don't understand the offense. But nonetheless, tragedy again at a naval station here in Pensacola, Florida.
You got to be careful out there, guys.
Be careful.
Here's a good email that I got to explaining more of the voluntary versus involuntary, because this came from an attorney in Utah.
Okay.
Henry was kind of spot on, which is nice. Voluntary manslaughter is the killing in the heat of passion as a result of, quote unquote, adequate provocation. Now, obviously, this is in the United States, but the case we were talking about last week was in Europe, so who knows what the hell they're saying. The provocation has to be one that would arouse sudden and intense passion in the mind of an ordinary person. The classic example seems to be catching your spouse in bed with someone else. There also must not have been sufficient time between the provocation and the killing for the passions of a reasonable person to cool. So you can't kill your wife 2 weeks after you caught her in bed with someone else.
Right.
You can't, guys. Finally, the killer must not have, in fact, cooled off between the provocation and the killing. You can't just pretend you're mad your wife cheated on you when you really don't care because the spark is gone, and then you kill her for the life insurance using your fake anger as an excuse. Honestly, but again, you just gave someone a great idea, E. Involuntary manslaughter, on the other hand, is the killing of criminal negligence. It can also be called misdemeanor manslaughter, when you kill someone while committing a misdemeanor or certain felonies. This is accidentally killing someone while doing something stupid or while you commit some other low-level offense. Interesting.
I say lean in. You bust your girlfriend or your wife having sex with another man, just be like, all right, finish. Just finish it up in front of me. It'll make them uncomfortable.
Have to finish.
But now you have to finish. Just do it in front of me. I don't care. Let's just get this.
I also got an email from a barrister practicing in England who we've unfortunately roasted, saying that how do you trust a lawyer in a wig? And they said, yes, I have a wig and a gown. So I'm sorry again, you know, everyone's mad. I'm sorry to everyone. 24/7. In England and Wales, we have voluntary and involuntary manslaughter. Voluntary manslaughter is broken down as follows: diminished responsibility, abnormality of the mind, loss of control, not to be confused with a fit of rage. An example of loss of control would be a domestic abuse victim who finally snaps, or a suicide pact. Involuntary manslaughter is broken down into unlawful act, constructive manslaughter, most commonly a fight where someone hits their head after a punch and dies. Probably the worst example from the UK was Mick Philpott, who killed 6 children in a house fire he started to win back custody. You may wish to look into him for an episode. And gross negligence, a doctor whose poor treatment results in the death of a patient, or a person who sells drugs to another who dies taking them.
Well, how the hell is he going to get custody back if he burns all the children alive?
But in the case of Bennett von Wertz, I believe he was initially convicted of willful homicide, which was later reduced on appeal to gross negligence. Willful homicide appears to be defined as a person intentionally behaving in such a way that causes their death of another person, punishable by at least 5 years imprisonment. That's it!
I feel like gross negligence should be like shooting up a school while picking your nose or something. You know, you got to be doing something kind of nasty.
In the law. It means something else there.
No, I know that. I'm making a joke. All right, well, let's do something that's no laughing matter. Let's do Hero of the Week.
Hero of the Week. Hero of the Week. Hero of the Week. Hero of the Week.
Okay, this week's Hero of the Week, he technically didn't do anything, and quite honestly, I could have chosen a different story, but it's going to be Daniel Higginbotham. He's a 44-year-old. He picked a massive potato snack from a Morrison store, and you know what? He found a 6-inch crisp. He bought the one. What's the name of the currency over there again in Europe?
Euro.
The Euro, yeah, whatever. He picked a 1 euro bag for lunch, but got peckish around mid-morning and decided to tuck it. He opened it up, and then he opened up the bag. He said, I pulled it out, and it kept going. It was a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. Isn't that interesting?
This is great. This is really, so really great.
So instead of eating
it's just a big potato chip.
It's a big potato chip, yeah.
What about this makes him a hero?
Well, he found it. So
you're just saying that it's so instead of saying it's like one of those that some people choose their fate and some people have their fate thrust upon them. One of those.
Yeah, you're not often, you don't choose to be a hero. The hero life chooses you. He says, so he went to get a tape measure. It was 6 inches long. He goes on to say, I was quite happy. It was the biggest crisp.
Quite happy.
It was the biggest crisp I have ever seen. And then he says, everybody wants to find a big crisp, don't they? So there you go. Isn't that exciting?
It doesn't matter. I don't think it matters.
Well, this is the thing.
Nothing has changed in society.
No, this could.
He has
this could affect
influenced anything.
This could affect the Brexiphone. Daniel said colleagues flocked to his desk to marvel at the find. This is what he said. He said some weren't interested at all, but I quickly locked it away just in case. Somebody crushed it. So that's what makes him a hero, Henry. He found a 6-inch crisp and he saved it. And I don't think he's going to eat it. He says he thinks he's going to put it on display in a display case. He says, I'm not saying it's the biggest ever, but you never know. I had a little look and I couldn't see anything bigger. So isn't that nice?
It's like, you know what? Honestly, it is really nice. And it is technically very nice that he did do it.
It is. And speaking of the hero life choosing you, he says, I'm not even sure why I bought them. He said, I was drawn to them that day.
I swear to God.
Yep.
That is not a way it goes.
However,
that's just straight up not a way it goes.
No.
Like this is not a call to will. This is not Joseph Campbell's like a hero's initiation. You know, I'm going to immediately backtrack and say it might be. It really depends on what else happens to him.
Well, it really does. But now, unfortunately, it's not the biggest crisp in the world, although I believe
it's not even the biggest crisp,
Henry,
in the world.
But hold on. It's the biggest natural in nature found crisp. The largest crisp is a 25 inches by 14 inches, but it was created specifically for the U.S.-based food engineers in 1991.
Well,
so you can't make it specifically.
They don't fit in the box.
No.
They fit in the little bag.
Exactly. So I actually think this is the biggest found in nature crisp ever recorded, which is why Daniel Higginbotham, your hero of the week.
You're in charge of the segment. So I get it. I'm with you. I see the way you rationalize it.
It's very exciting.
I think that
very exciting.
I think that it is fine.
Thank you. Thank you.
I am now going to read some viewer mail.
All right.
We can't see anything, but it's listener mail. Okay. This comes from A. Around 2016, I lived in an old house with my cat by the name of Duchess. She is a lovely creature, and I love her very much. My room was on the second floor of the house near a staircase. I woke up around 3 or 4 a.m. to the sound of her distressed meowing coming from the hallway. A kind of frantic meow I haven't heard her make before that urged me to get up and check up on her. When I opened the door to my room, she was pacing around the hallway with a spooked look on her face. I didn't turn the lights on. I came to comfort her at the top of the staircase. When I peered down the steps leading down to the first floor, I noticed how exceptionally dark the space around the staircase was, like the blackest black, compared to everything around me. I got an uncomfortable feeling, so I picked up my cat, carried it in my room so she could sleep with me. I left the door slightly ajar so she could leave if she wanted to, but I put it on a little bed as she made a spot for herself, all while her eyes gaze rarely left the door. She sat on my bed uneasy with her fur standing on end, but she didn't make any sounds. As I followed her gaze to the crack of the door while on the bed with her, I noticed something strange. It looked as though the blackness of the staircase has followed us into the room, but the size of a small, like a dark cloud, centered around 5 to 6 inches from the ground besides the door. As I kept staring at the blackness, it seemed as though reality was distorting in that one spot. It's hard to explain. but it's like in that darkness, I had shapes formed inside of it, and I could make out a shape of two heads moving separately from each other, and then I could see two bodies. They look like two bald, pointy-eared goblin-like things with large eyes, and they were huddled together by the door and then started to move and were slowly creeping into my room. It wasn't like I couldn't see them totally physically manifest, but it was like an outline of three-dimensional forms of two distinct bodies, and I could feel like they were living things, which is a strange experience to convey with words. It's not the first of its kind in my life. They started making their way closer to my bed, and I could see that they were fixated on my cat. I didn't like the vibe these things were giving off. They felt hostile, and I started to get freaked out, so I told them to leave out loud in a panic. I heard that words powered by intent can be powerful to these kinds of situation, but they seemed to completely ignore me, and I could still see them advancing forward, moving closer to my bed. My cat was staring wide-eyed at the same direction, looking super spooked, and I started to get nervous. I didn't know if you guys have ever tuned into your auroric fields before or heard of this technique, but I was taught by my mother, who is pretty heavy into energy healing, when I was growing up. The technique involved closing your eyes and visualizing that you are blowing up a protective sphere around your body using your energy field. Technically, it's called calling a circle if you were to use ritualistic magic. I closed my eyes and cast that barrier mentally around myself and then visualized it around my cat as well. I kept at it for maybe a minute until I opened my eyes to see if the weird goblin things were still there. I looked around and it's like the fog had lifted and the corner where they were at was no longer dark and spooky and there was nothing there anymore. My cat seemed to relax and in about 5 minutes, she seemed to have calmed down and curled into a little kitty croissant and proceeded to fall asleep. Don't eat it. It was a pretty strange experience. But it was one that I will remember for a long time. If you're following season 2 of Hellier, you'll see why I read that, and specifically the idea of goblins being obsessed with your pets.
Oh my goodness. All right.
It's very interesting.
I have an email here as well, Henry. I'm not sure if you were going to read this one. It comes in from EAP. It's entitled Anus Hotel. It says, just Google Anus Hotel. It's like an Airbnb shaped like an anus. Not sure if it's legit, but I feel like it's up your alley. So there we go. Thank you so much.
Really, thank you. honestly, thank you.
Thank you.
So this was in response to a story we told a little while ago where I said that if I said, you know, and I'm not known to be wrong a lot. You know, I'm pretty on the money. I'm on the money most of the time.
Is this something that someone has told you or is this something that you're sort of saying?
Absolutely not. You know what? You could say something to yourself, and it's like somebody else is saying it to you if you do it in a funny voice.
That's true. That's true.
So this is a story where I said that it seemed that if you were to pee your pants in a mugging situation, that it would make the mugger more likely to mug you.
I disagreed with you, though.
You did. And G disagrees with me as well from a story they have to tell. About 12 years ago, I was walking home from the bar pretty drunk, alone, late at night, and at one point on my walk, a very large teenage girl ran up to me, flashed a knife, told me to give her my money. I'm a very petite woman, about 5'2", and this girl had about 1 foot and 100 pounds on me, so I knew I was in an incredibly dangerous situation. My animal instincts took over, and what my animal instincts told me to do was fall to the ground, screaming, and piss my pants. I screamed louder than I had ever screamed in my life and visibly soaked the front of my pants. My mugger seemed to get freaked out. She just jumped on her bike and ran away without taking anything. So, I don't know if pissing my pants in this scenario only worked because I'm a woman, but it did work.
There you go. And what great, honestly, perfect animal instinct.
Sounds like there's a lot of custom vids that are going to come out of this. That's my guess.
All right.
And I got a little bit, I got a little bit more. This one comes from Nate. I want to straight up say thank you to everybody that sends us stories in the emails. And I love them. I love hearing your weird ass experiences. It's my favorite thing in the world. Because this, yeah, I think this is a good place to share.
Absolutely.
When odd shit happens to us.
And don't forget holiday horror stories for next week. Indeed, sad stories, LPOTL @gmail.com.
Get yourself on there and really send it out.
Indeed.
Okay, so this is one. This is just a weird anomalous. This comes from Nate. This event took place while I was in high school growing up in PA. I was a sophomore at the time, and I was spending the night at a friend's place. There were about 4 of us total in the house for the sleepover. The night consisted mostly of us playing video games, watching music videos, and eating fast food. We were all hanging out in the living room downstairs when most of the lights turned off. The only light was coming from the TV. Then the occurrence happened. All of a sudden, the whole downstairs filled with a green light. Me and my friends were stunned. We all couldn't move. As the light grew stronger, a thin white mist started to rise from the floor. The mist never rose above 6 inches off the ground. I can't exactly remember how I felt in that scenario, but I didn't have any fear, mostly just curiosity. After a full minute in this bizarre scenario, as quickly as this event started, it dissipated in the blink of an eye. After whatever had left, my friends and I got up to check it out. We ran around the house and went outside to figure out the mysterious event that had just happened. I should also mention that this neighborhood was secluded and had no street lamps. On top of that, the living room was facing backward with the woods. We spent the rest of the night being the Hardy Boys trying to solve the mystery. We were really stretching for an answer. Our best answer was that we suspected that the light of the moon had reflected off a box of Cascade dish detergent, which was concealed underneath the sink.
Okay.
It sounds foolish, but we were just trying to explain what happened. For about a decade, I thought it was aliens because, you know, the whole green face and the association of the color green with aliens.
Right.
Hellier, as well as a shout out to Hellier. However, after reading up on paranormal events, I realized that ghost apparitions can take on different forms from orbs to mists. Oh, see, it makes your brain expand. I now believe me and my friends were experiencing a ghost, but still not entirely sure. You just got ding-donged by the weird, my friend.
Whoa, ding-donged by the weird. Great story. I love those tales of sleepover scaries, because that does happen. Yeah.
And I like it when it's ghosts and not just my uncle molested all of us.
Yeah. Those are always hard, because then we have to go to the police.
Yeah.
All right, any more emails, Henry?
No, I'm really good. All right. We did it. That's it. That's from y'all, and thank you for your support.
Thank you all so much. We also want to thank everyone that came out to see us in Tirana, in Columbus, Ohio, and in Detroit. A special shout out to Austin in Detroit. We had a great time at the casino. Evidently, we stayed at the bad casino, but because we stayed at the bad casino, they also had my favorite casino game, which is just the drinking game War, played with money, which is awesome.
You literally just cosplayed the National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation, when he loses all the money and goes
nobody
to the shitty casino.
Talk about the opposite, because I made money and Austin made money. And so thank you so much for being such a wonderful fan and such a nice escort around Austin. Not a sexual escort, an escort. And also just thanks everyone in Tirana. Thanks everyone in Columbus. We had a great time. Columbus is a beautiful little all-American town, so we had a great time, and we will be back in Detroit sooner than we went there the first time. We will be there sooner.
We will be there very soon. Again, remember, buy those live show tickets. But next week, we're going to be out there.
We're going to be in New Orleans.
We're going to be in New Orleans. Can't wait to see you. And also, support Page 7 and Wizard and the Bruiser, the Regency Theater in Los Angeles. That is Wednesday. This Wednesday. Tomorrow.
Tonight.
Tonight. It is tonight. So please go out there and support them. You can look away from Holden. You can just cover your eyes and listen. But just stare at Jack.
Don't look directly at Holden. Look at the women.
Yeah, just look at Jackie. Look at Natalie.
You can look at Jake. You can even look at Jake.
Jake is great. Jake is a sweet guy. He's fun.
Holden will take what he will do. Will take from you what he can. He will take your soul from you. He'll take your hopes, your dreams from you. If he could, he would. He absorbs your energy. He's the last of the most epic psychic vampires.
But that being said, it'll be a great show. So check it out.
It's going to be a great show. I also say that Jackie, they're all going to be hanging out after the show too, saying hi. So make sure you can go in there and buy them brewskis, buy them soup.
Buy them soup. Jake would love some soup. Honestly, I could see Jake slamming soup at a bar.
You love soup at a bar.
Why not?
Make sure you live. You got to live.
Yeah,
you got to live to the end of 2020. No more murder suicides, everybody, okay?
Nope.
Let's hold off on those till 2020, because they don't roll over.
Nope.
It's like your Sky Miles.
Nope.
Right? Those murder suicides. It's not gonna count. If you do it now, it doesn't really count.
Mm-mm.
For tonight, 2019, it gets lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
Love your pets. I mean, if you got a pet, love a pet. Love a pet today.
Okay.
I look upon Wendy and the sheer simple love that we have for each other. Sometimes I wonder, will it save my life one day? Is this the meaning of my life, to love this pet? And you know what? Sometimes it is very nice.
It is nice. And it's fun to remember. I saw this meme on Instagram. Yes, your pet won't be alive for all of your life, but all of your pet's life is with you. Isn't that nice? It's 100% of their life is with you.
You're right.
And laugh. Laugh, because if you're not laughing, you're shitting your pants. I don't know what I said.
All right, there it is, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a wonderful week. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me in my guts.
Absolutely. And if you see Papa again, we need someone on the inside.
Someone's got to get in there. You have to influence his actions, or you need to tell us so we could tell the police.
Absolutely.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love the most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus more of the dietary fiber and protein you want. No compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HERO10 at checkout. That's HERO10 at HERO.co.